the four steps for purification, we've gone through several times before, but I think it's good to go through again. Because to have a complete purified action, you know, to completely purify something, we need all four steps. And we also need to purify repeatedly. In other words, it's not sufficient just kind of doing it once, because sometimes, you know, one or the other of the four powers may not be so strong. And also because some of the habitual negative actions we've done many, many times, so it's wise to purify many, many times to make sure that our purification really hits home. Now, because it's like, what is it, Newton's thing of force and counterforce, you know? Yeah, so if you have a lot of energy going this way, you can't just put up a Q-tip and expect it to stop, you know? So we can't just purify once if we have, like, so much energy pushing us in an off-balance way. We really need to purify again and again and again to build up some force this way. Okay? So the four powers we need to do again and again and again, you know, as much as we can. Okay, so the first one is developing regret. Yeah. And so, again, just to remember, there's a big difference between regret and guilt. Yeah. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, regret is very much just acknowledging our mistake. And anger is hating ourselves because of it. I mean, guilt is hating ourselves because of it. Yeah. But with guilt, you're right, it really blocks the insight, because when we're guilty, we're completely revolved around I. Yeah. There's no space for anything else in the world, because it's just very I-centered. And also with guilt, often guilt takes responsibility for things that aren't our responsibility. Yeah. So you have the thing many times, like in the case of abused children, where the children feel guilty for it. Yeah, where they're taking responsibility for something that isn't their responsibility. Or, you know, something happens to somebody else. You know, your kid goes to school without a sweater and gets a cold, and then you blame yourself. Oh, I should have told him to wear a sweater. I'm such a lousy parent. I didn't tell him to wear a sweater, so he went to school and he got a cold, and I'm guilty. It's all my fault. You know, maybe it wasn't your fault. Maybe the kid next to him had a cold and sneezed all over your child. Yeah? So guilt often takes responsibility for things that have nothing to do with us. Or things that are our responsibility, again, it just exaggerates that and then hates ourselves because of it. So it's really quite an unrealistic state of mind. So I think it's really important in our practice to acknowledge where we feel guilty and to be very clear about it, and maybe even write it down. You know, write down the things that we feel guilty about, and then really look at those things and say, are those things my responsibility? And what would it be like, how would it feel to regret those things, you know, if they are my responsibility? First of all, determine if they are or if they aren't. And if they aren't my responsibility, then no need to feel guilty. And if they are my responsibility, well, how would it feel to have regret for it rather than guilt? What would regret feel like? Yeah. And so to really do some very deep introspection, do some deep house cleaning this way, because the guilt really, really immobilizes us. It's very difficult to grow when we feel guilty. Yeah. And there's so many things that we might just habitually feel guilty about.
I speak from lots of experience. Expertise, I tell you. And this is one of the big things.
you know, when I made the decision to become a nun, my family was incredibly unhappy, you know. And I began to realize that my whole pattern, my life, was whenever my parents were unhappy, I felt guilty about it. Yeah, because they were unhappy. Why? Because I was a rotten kid and misbehaved. Yeah, so when they're unhappy because of something I do, obviously it's my fault. So the thing is, you know, just to see that kind of pattern, and like I just saw the same thing coming up again, you know, and like, oh, I want to get ordained. My parents are really happy and I'm miserable. I'm miserable, therefore, you know, and I feel guilty. I feel responsible for their being unhappy. Yeah. And I really had to sit down and do a lot of introspection and working around with that one, you know, to really figure out, what is my responsibility in this and what is their responsibility? Yeah. And if I'm acting with, an ulterior motivation or a motivation to harm them, and they are harmed, then I have some responsibility in it. But if I'm acting with a good motivation and they're misinterpreting it because of their own mental veils, that part isn't my responsibility. But it took a lot, you know, really just working with this repeatedly to sort out what belongs where. Okay, so, you know, this first power of regret is really important, because if we don't kind of do this sorting out in our mind between what is regret and what is guilt and what is my responsibility and what isn't my responsibility, and if we also avoid bearing responsibility for things that are our responsibility, in other words, if we rationalize and justify and push off to others things that are actually coming from us, unless we do this kind of house cleaning, we walk around our whole life with this incredible mental malaise, you know, just feeling totally rotten all the time, feeling like, you know, we're walking on top of a sewer and we're afraid that, you know, the thin layer separating us from the sewer is going to break, yeah? And what's the sewer? It's just all this incredible mushmash of our unsorted out feelings, yeah, and our unacknowledged responsibilities and the whole cloudiness there. So purification practice is really good in this way, because it helps us get some clarity on it. And even though at the beginning we may not be able to be 100% clear, sometimes we'll sit and we'll think back about things we did in our life and we'll just get confused because we can't sort out, why was I doing that? Was I acting kindly, or was I acting like with an ulterior motivation? Or, you know, sometimes we just start thinking about it and the mind gets totally confused even more, you know? Sometimes it just takes really a while to sort through things and to know that when we're working on things that have been issues in our life for many, many years, that you work on them in layers and in stages. And so you work on it for a bit, like peeling one layer off the onion, you know, and then so you purify that much, you gain that much clarity, but you acknowledge that there's a whole lot of other stuff that is not clear to you about it. That's okay. You know, we don't have to be clear overnight, but, you know, so whatever we can get clear about, to feel good about that, to recognize there's a lot of other stuff there, but it's going to take time. And when our mind is ready to deal with that, we'll be able to start making headways on those things. Yeah. So you see, this is why we do purification from now until enlightenment, because it's a process of just peeling away layers of the onion. So we kind of have to go into the purification process with that kind of attitude, because we can't squeeze ourselves and force ourselves, you know. Okay, tonight in my meditation session, I am going to get my relationship with so-and-so sorted out completely 100% forever. You know, I mean, no? So we just have to work gradually and clean things out. Yeah? But as we start to purify, the benefits of purifying really become apparent. Yeah? Because our mind gets clearer. and we understand ourselves better. We're quicker to catch on to what's going on in our mind because we've spent some time examining it. Also, when we sit down to listen to teachings, the teachings make more sense to us. So that's, again, why I really encourage a lot of purification, because otherwise if you just listen and listen and listen to lots of teaching, but you don't try and put anything into practice and you don't try and purify, then after a while, either your mind's going to get tough like cardboard because the teachings all seem very intellectual and dry to you, or you're just going to, you know, feel like it's all useless. So, you know, it really takes this kind of purification, accumulation of positive potential to keep the mind fertile. So when you listen to teaching, something goes in. So that it doesn't just become intellectual blah, 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 blah. Because it could become, you know, there's four of this and eight of that and five of this. And there's the definition of this is this and the definition of that is that, and, you know. It could. You can know all of that stuff, and yet your heart's totally like a, you know, slab of concrete. So, purification, you know, accumulation of positive potential is really important that way. Okay? So spending some time generating regret, differentiating it from guilt.